Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 165 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And it's good to be in the studio with Kelvin again.
Yes, yeah, we've had a few recently where we've been doing interviews and all that type of thing, which is all very exciting, but it is a little bit of a shame that me and Andy don't get quite so much face-to-face time.
We don't get such good quality time together, do we?
But we're actually also joined. We've got a special guest who isn't joining us on the microphone today, but is in the room.
Yes, the disembodied voice you may hear in the background from time to time.
Say hello, Mila. You're not mic'd up, so you won't be able to hear you, but say hello.
Yeah, she sounds like a producer, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, my producer's waving at me.
Yeah. But no, so Mila's also in the room with her today, so she's got to listen to me and Andy, which are away once when we're recording it live, and then probably again when it goes up on the website. So like, poor Mila.
Poor Mila.
Yes, but we're going to be talking today about some of the really recent updates that Google have been making to their algorithm. Now, you probably have all heard about Panda, which was a kind of a big update that went on over most of last year and went through multiple revisions. But we've been seeing quite a lot of sort of big change in Google's algorithm fairly recently. And it's been targeted largely at kind of, you've probably heard people talking about this over-optimization penalty. Basically, that's kind of where this is all connected. But I think over-optimization, it's a horrible word for two reasons. How can you over-optimise something? Optimise is making it as close to perfect as possible, so that it doesn't work as an idea anyway.
Over-gaming, is that a better way
of
putting it?
Yeah, so basically, Google have been taking a more proactive stance upon the type of SEO and marketing strategies which most people would call black hat, but certainly are kind of against the guidelines that Google have sort of laid out in terms of what they believe to be acceptable. And that's kind of been happening in a couple of instances, but there was a kind of a big rollout of this like over the last week or so. And only yesterday, as we were recording this, was it given a name. Now, Google updates, there used to be a period where they were all named, then there was a period where they weren't, and then we kind of went through a period where there was Pan and Vince and kind of Caffeine, which wasn't an update but was given a name. It's kind of a rollout there, and then you had Panda version 1, version 1.2 and all this type of thing. But there's a brand new one, it's called Google Penguin, and I don't know quite where that name came from. I think it was kind of voted on Google Plus, kind
of as Linux-y, a spin to me.
Linuxy. And I think also it'll give a very good, whenever anyone talks about Google Panda at a search conference, they always use the Kung Fu Panda picture. Well, now they're going to be using the Happy Feet picture to illustrate it. But essentially it's a series of updates that have kind of combined together to really take on some of the slightly greyer, maybe even black hat techniques that some search marketers are using. Now, I don't think these are ever, we've not seen any dramatic impact downward on any of our clients. We've actually seen some positive impact because some of the people who were spamming have now dropped out a bit.
That's
so
interesting, yeah.
They've improved. But just to kind of take you through sort of the two main areas, and this is kind of a bit of speculation at the moment because it's all still shaking out in terms of understanding entirely how it works, but the first stage was kind of going after blog networks. Now, blog networks, if you've not really come across them before, are essentially web sort of relationships and services that exist that allow you to purchase links for your website, but they go on blog networks. They're not kind of paid for links in the same way. Some of them are kind of cooperative, so you put in links and you get links out. But essentially these were websites that existed purely to generate links to other websites, and there were, you know, one that's kind of been most obvious within this fallout of changes was a website called Build My Rank, and they had, you know, hundreds of thousands of websites within their system that allowed you to input within it and then generate links out from it.
Do these sites have any proper content.
Well, they do, but the content can either be its quality is generally very low. So it's either kind of the cheapest possible writer we can get who just about speaks English, or in many cases, and I think this is really why Google came down on it quite so hard, was it was using what was known as spun content. So spun content is essentially where there is originally at some point in time a original article that's written, but it goes through software to rewrite it. So the problem is that you can't use the same article hundreds of times because Google can see that. So people go, well, how can I take this one 500-word article and turn it into 10, 15, 20, 100 different articles based on that original piece of writing that probably only cost a few quid?
Surely software can't do a brilliant job.
Well, it can't. Really, from a kind of a real reader can see that this isn't real content. Because essentially how it works is that they are more advanced than this, but to kind of explain roughly how they work is you say, okay, so say the sentence is the cat sat on the mat. Well, what it'll do is it'll go through a thesaurus and say, well, what's the alternative for mat? Well, maybe it's rug. So we'll now have the cat sat on the rug. And then it will say, okay, well, let's put that through again.
And the Felis Domesticus sat on the rug.
Yeah. And the Felis Domesticus sat on the carpet and so on and so forth. And you get kind of all these spin-off variations that you've got there. And some of this software can be quite good. And actually, there's some really interesting AI developments sort of going on in terms of machine-written content. Some of it is very good. But generally speaking, what we're talking about here are people who are trying to cut corners. And they're trying to cut corners and do this in the way that's just to get the content out there, get that link indexed, and, you know, then hopefully improve their search rankings. Well, there was a big rollout. Now, I think, to be honest, these links that were on these blog networks probably didn't really carry that much value, if any at all, but people still continued to use them. But what Google did quite explicitly was they de-indexed all of the blog websites that that were part of this network. So they were no longer in the Google index. Now, I think prior to that, they probably weren't passing value, so they weren't having a positive impact, but nobody knew that. They didn't know that whether or not. So they kind of erred on the side of caution and used them anyway. Now, Google made an explicit statement by removing these pages, these websites from the index. That's kind of a bit about as explicit as Google can get to say these links don't have any value. We don't consider these pages worthy enough to be within our index. And, you know, so that kind of instantly built my rank closed down overnight. And there's a lot of other blog networks, that public blog networks that people were using that got kind of affected by this. And a lot of sort of private blog networks that various SEO agencies maintain, where they own 1,000 websites of their own, also kind of got caught in the crossfire of this. So that was the first sort of main foray of this most recent update. And there's been another kind of rollout a bit more recently. And this is probably what is actually is Panda. Is Penguin. And that's kind of, it's really seems to have gone after websites that have been sort of over-optimizing their anchor text. So when we've talked previously about link building, we always talk about the volume of links that you get, the quality of links that you get, the speed at which you get them, and kind of the words that people use to link to you. And the logic being that someone linking to you using your keyword is better than someone linking to you using the word click here or your brand name. Now, that logic makes a lot of sense until everyone who's doing these blog networks and buying links is all they're doing is linking to their page, which is kind of, I don't know, domain.com, using the keywords like, you know, cheap flights, when their domain name is kelvinswebsite.com. And what you found is that that was kind of distorting the algorithm. So what Google appeared to have done is sort of turned that down a bit and, you know, potentially started to penalise websites that have too many links with just their anchor text. So instead, and this has kind of been, you know, our advice generally speaking, is that you shouldn't only go after keyword-rich anchor text. You should kind of maybe where possible try and get some keyword-rich anchor text, but don't worry about getting branded anchor text, or don't worry about getting links to you that say click here. You want it to be natural. And I think this is kind of... My general perception is that I think more and more Google's algorithm is not looking at kind of absolute, so like absolutely how many links do you have or absolutely how much anchor text do you have. It's becoming a lot more relative. So it's a kind of actually who has the most links and the most quality compared to the average that everyone has. And people who have weird outliers with really high results and lots of anchor text are considered weird and unusual, so therefore shouldn't rank potentially. So it's all still kind of shaking out at the moment, and I think the general advice is if you've been following most white hat techniques, you're probably okay. But if you've been treading that sort of grey line where you've been using some of these SEO tools that promise a link every day, or you've been using a blog network where you just have to put in, you know, 300 words of crappy content and you know that you're going to get 20,000 links out of it, well, 20,000, you know, 20 links out of it, the days of that are sort of numbered pretty much. And we've always known this, but the evidence kind of suggested that although Google didn't like it, it sometimes worked. I think now it doesn't work anymore. So there's a lot of people who've been hit really hard by this. I think most kind of reputable SEO agencies who rely on kind of more PR-based, you know, public relations, guest blogging, that type of thing, seem to have not really been affected quite as badly. But those who are using tools to generate links seem to have been hit pretty hard. I mean, a freelancer I know made the statement that he's kind of giving up SEO now to get a bar job, which, you know, is surprising, you know, but it has genuinely hit some websites that hard that they've kind of having to close down. But they should have known, you know, there's a risk. There was a great talk at Brighton SEO that we had recently from a guy called Stefan at PropellerNet, and he was talking about kind of black swans. But I think, and kind of the perception of risk, and too many people in the world of search marketing particularly don't really appreciate the risks of some of their tactics that they're doing, and they'd rather try and take a risky approach that has a short-term reward rather than think about the long game. And I think, you know, I think there's very rarely do Google do anything that surprises us. And I think all of us can anticipate what they want, which is to try and make their search engine as much like a user as possible.
It does seem to me, Calvin, that the sort of the band of okayness is getting narrower. I mean, should web owners, I'm a website owners and SEOs be worried about this?
Well, I think the thing that's scariest about this is that it kind of will look at what you've done historically. And there's certainly plenty of examples of people who perhaps in the past naively went down a route of some perhaps overly aggressive tactics. It didn't work. 2 or 3 years later, they kind of settled on more kind of sustainable approaches. But Google appear to be looking at what they've done in the past. And that's a danger because, you know, we're getting clients come to us who have been really badly affected by these results. They've dropped out of the Google index, so they're nowhere to be seen. And, you know, for us as an SEO agency, we have to kind of do some due diligence there to try and understand that actually, do we want to be working with these websites that have these legacy issues that are going to be very difficult to deal with? Or are we better advising the clients to start from scratch? Because in some cases, that their history that they have established with the search engines has become viewed so poorly that they're better off starting from scratch, which is the complete opposite to how generally SEO used to work previously. Whereas no matter what you did in the past, you're better off working on a site that's been around for a few years. Mm. Now, maybe the perspective on that is slightly different. There seem to be more websites that have got burned, to use the kind of lingo that, you know, of the people who are perhaps use some aggressive tactics. But, you know, within certain sectors of search marketing, there's kind of this exception that, like, if a website can work well for 6 months and then never work again, that's not a bad thing. You know, for certain people, that's a suitable tactic. But for proper business owners who are working on their main website, to have that suddenly disappear from the search engines, not just like not appear for keywords, but completely disappear from the search engines.
Oh, that must be so scary.
You know, that's, you know, a really bad state of affairs. So, yeah, I mean, just to kind of sum up on that, you know, keep your eyes open. There's a lot of speculation happening at the moment, of which I've kind of participated in some of that speculation. But what I will say is, just generally speaking, if there are any tactics that you're participating in your SEO campaign that you're at all a little bit dubious about how Google would perceive that, if you're concerned, consider switching to tactics that are more, you know, you'd be less embarrassed by. I think that's a good sort of benchmark for your kind of link building, particularly if someone else outside your business were to examine this approach to look at those links, would they be a bit embarrassed or mortified by what you've been doing? If they have, if they would be, then that's the type of stuff that either is now being, you know, attacked by Google, or definitely has the potential to in the not too distant future.
Is imagine your mother was watching over your shoulder what you were doing.
Yes,
and she worked for Google.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. You know, imagine you had to talk Google through the links that you'd built to your website. If you think that they'd cringe or be a little bit sceptical of some of those, that's probably a bad sign.
Oh, well, Kelvin, any further thoughts on this, or should we?
I think I'd call it a day there. But just to say, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, and yeah, you know, there is now the danger of negative SEO, which I think is a whole bigger subject that we haven't really got time to look into here. But it definitely does appear that the boundaries of what is and isn't acceptable within the world of search marketing has moved. Perhaps not surprisingly, but it has moved nonetheless.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there then. So we'll see you all next time on
Internet Marketing Podcast.
I didn't forget the name of the podcast, and I was just trying to do a dramatic pause.
Oh, sorry. Did I ruin it? I'll let you do it again, Andy.
No, it's okay. No editing in this show.
The moment's kind of sport now, isn't it?
It has. We'll see you all next time, folks.
Bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.